Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Larry Mullins, and here are today's top local stories. There's more now on that Bayport guy already in trouble with the law for allegedly threatening to attack the NYC Pride Parade and sending threats through the mail suggesting violence on LGBTQ businesses. Well, he was out on $100,000 bail, put on home detention after he allegedly threatened to attack the NYC Pride March. Well, guess who's back in jail? After authorities on Long Island say, wait a minute, this is the same cat who was apparently threatening LGBTQ organizations in Sayville this summer. 1010 Winds newsman Drew Scott with more.
74-year-old Robert Faring was back in court today, accused of tearing down and stealing pride flags in his continuing hate-filled rampage against LGBTQ organizations on Long Island, according to police. David Kilmnick of the LGBTQ Network says the former teacher and track coach should never have been released after his arrest Monday by federal agents.
But it definitely goes to show that we still have a lot more work to do to stop hate and to stop these threats against our community.
If convicted, Faring faces up to 5 years in prison on the hate crime charges. Drew Scott, 1010 Winds.
Federal prosecutors say Faring has sent dozens of hate-filled letters to LGBTQ organizations and leaders threatening bombings and a mass shooting that would make the 2016 Orlando Pulse nightclub attack, quote, look like a cakewalk. Nice guy, right? Some sad news from the FDNY today. Commissioner Daniel Nigro says Assistant Chief of EMS Alvin Suriel died of World Trade Center-related cancer today, 52 years old, and had been with the department 32 years. Michael Barris is his attorney, speaking today on Newsline with Bridget Quinn.
He leaves behind his wife and two young daughters. And, you know, it's not just a loss to the fire department. It's a loss to a family. And, you know, it's important that we all remember the sacrifice that responders made, but also non-responders made to try to build back this city.
Yeah, Suriel becomes the 264th member of the FDNY to die of WTC-related illness. He was the first Hispanic member ever appointed to Assistant Chief of EMS Operations, supervising close to 5,000 EMTs, paramedics, EMS officers, and civilian employees. He made a little history there. Also out of the FDNY, there's a wake today for firefighter Vincent Malveaux. He's the young guy who collapsed during a training the other day and died. Malveaux suffered a medical episode at the FDNY Training Academy over on Randall's Island last Thursday. He died the next day. The ME still trying to determine the exact cause. They started the wake at 2 o'clock. This is at the Marine Park Funeral Home in Brooklyn. They're doing a memorial service tomorrow morning in East New York. Well, if Democratic voters in New York went to the polls today to pick somebody in a primary for governor, it would be a neck-and-neck race between Governor Hochul and Attorney General Tish James. That's the latest from a Siena research poll. Pollster Steven Greenberg speaking with us.
Hochul leads with 38% support. Attorney General Tish James in second place with 18%. New York City public advocate Jemani Williams has 10% support. And outgoing Mayor Bill de Blasio and Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi both have the support of 6% of Democrats.
Hochul was virtually unknown when she took over in late August after Governor Andrew Cuomo resigned over sexual harassment allegations. Speaking of voting, the Big Apple on the cusp of becoming one of the largest places in the country to give non-citizens the right to vote. Says here, legally documented voting age non-citizens make up nearly 1 in 9 of the city's 7 million voters. Under a bill that's on the table, some 800,000 non-citizens would be allowed to cast ballots in local elections, including mayor. They still wouldn't be able to vote for president or members of Congress, nor in state elections, you know, to pick a governor. The measure has broad support within the council. They could ratify the proposal later this week, in fact. Mayor de Blasio says he ain't all that sure about the legality of the thing, but he says he won't block it or veto it, so it might be a done deal. We could find out as early as Thursday. Stay tuned, everybody. Sheepshead Bay, where the search is on now for the suspect who's robbed the donation box at the same synagogue, not one, not two, but three times over the last few weeks.
The police have released surveillance video and pictures of the suspect, and they hope tips will lead to his arrest before he can strike a fourth time here at the Congregation Israel, Kings Bay Synagogue in Nostrand Avenue. The man first breaking into the building here November 24th and stealing $600 from the donation box. $750 was what he grabbed the second time he broke in December 2nd. And then 2 days ago, breaking through the very same window in the back of the building and taking $850 this time. Those who work and live here unnerved, but
got to be cautious. I'm not scared to leave my house.
Say they'll be looking out for this guy.
If I see something, I'm definitely going to stop it.
Glenn Schuck, 1010 Winds, Nostrand Avenue in Sheepshead Bay.
You can see pictures and a video of Mr. Help Yourself to the collection plate at 1010winds.com. Well, today marks 80 years now since the attack on Pearl Harbor. Here's how it sounded for folks listening to the radio that day in Honolulu.
Today, the Hawaiian Islands were attacked by Japanese airplanes. Although a state of war exists, the civilian population of these islands has reacted in a calm and satisfactory manner. The Army demands the aid and assistance of every person in the territory.
More than 2,400 Americans killed in that attack on Pearl Harbor, hundreds of others wounded. The U.S. was still considered a neutral country in World War II at the time, but entered the war the very next day. Families of Pearl Harbor survivors, meantime, gathered at the Intrepid today to mark the anniversary.
Aaron Chapin was 18 on December 7, 1941. He died in 2017. His daughter Michelle relayed her father's story of that day, the fear of defeat.
His commander handed him a loaded .45 caliber pistol and said, six bullets are for the Japanese, one is for you. Don't be taken prisoner.
The Chapins, joined by the family of Armando Chickalela, who died in September with no one left locally to tell the story of Pearl Harbor Day. His son Michael says it's even more important to be here at the Intrepid so they're not forgotten.
It's got to be about education. That's why my father always spoke to schools and to young kids.
They also laid a wreath to honor the more than 2,000 soldiers who didn't get to tell their stories. Samantha Liepman, 1010 Winds aboard the Intrepid.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.